Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of China Business Cast. We have Mike here as always. Hey, Mike.
Hey, hey. That's your thing. Hey, hey.
Yeah, okay. I'll do a hey, hey now as well. Hey, you. Mike just came back from a long trip, so that's, I guess, your news for now.
Yep.
And he's totally jet, so we barely can record this. So way to go, Mike.
Always. China Business Cast is number one, no matter what.
So what's your big news from the world?
Yeah, you know, I got out to Europe. I haven't been out there for like 6 years or so. And, you know, conferences and business meetings. So everyone thinks I was on a holiday, but it was pretty productive for work and learned a lot. But of course, you know, I miss my family and just got to see my kids a little while ago. And, you know, I didn't take them with me, but I'm trying to decide now, do I travel with the family or solo? You know, I guess you have that question now too, but it's tough decision.
Yeah. It was easier to record from Europe, must say, because we're only 1 hour away. That was the previous recording.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hong Kong is more challenging, and especially that you just landed yesterday or today. Not sure. We're recording this on Wednesday, by the way.
Yeah, I got here Tuesday night, local time. So about 15 hours ago or so.
Okay. Jet lagged it is.
Definitely jet lagged. How about you? How have things been?
So I said that in the last episode that I won't mention the house moving thing. So we moved and we're not going to talk about this too much, organizing stuff, but we're about to finish. So let's keep it this way. I had the chance. I actually started writing for Forbes a few weeks ago and already published a few posts about Hong Kong and China startup scene.
Great.
And the reason I'm mentioning it here is because I also made a podcast article, which was just published a few days ago. So the reason is that I saw that the podcast scene, let's say, have changed a lot tremendously over the past few years. And I was looking at what's at that space now versus a few years ago. And I made a rundown of 9 podcasts. One of them is our podcast, but also Global From Asia, which you do by yourself, Mike.
Yep.
And also, it's related to the story that Kaiser Co, which does the Sinica podcast, just left China. So it's related to the whole story of foreigners now living in China and they're not staying for long term. I mean, I don't know too many foreigners staying for a really long term in China and, you know, deciding this is where they want to live. Mike, you're probably going to end up as one of them. You've been in Shenzhen for a long time.
We'll see. Yeah.
And we'll add that on the show notes so you can check it out and then discover other interesting podcasts as well. There is a China Accelerator podcast there. McKinsey is mentioned there. Made in China is mentioned there. There are obviously a few others. Limitless Lao Y, which was a sponsor here as well. You'll see them all.
Yeah, it's a great post. So thanks for mentioning us. It's almost great. And I'm sure we've already seen some really positive responses on the social media channels. People liking it a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's talk about our guests. So we have today Samantha Kwok from JingJobs. JingJobs is an HR hiring website, and they also do customized HR services for companies, mainly startups. They started with the foreign community in Beijing. They're based in Beijing and now are expanding to Shanghai and the Chinese employees as well. It's been an interesting talk, learning from scratch how to build a company. Samantha finished her school and then just started her startup without any experience. So that aspect was very interesting as well. Let's jump in.
Great. Yeah, let's go.
Awesome. So hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. We are at episode number 42. We got Mike here as always. Hey, Mike.
What's up?
Today is in Barcelona, so not in China as usual. And we've got Samantha Kwok from JingJobs. Hey, Samantha. Hey, Sam.
Hi. How are you?
Good to have you. Good to have you. So I'm hearing about you, Samantha. I've heard of Samantha for many, many times through WeChat and our Lean Startup Meetup group. And I'm very, very glad to ever here on the show together with Mike. We've met for the first time a few weeks ago at the meetup. You came for a speaking, so that was really, really interesting. So thank you for that. And I'm also glad to bring you to the online world as well. So welcome again.
Yeah, thanks. No, thanks so much for having me as well for both the Lean Startup and this. It's pretty fun to be able to chat about what I do and stuff. So yeah.
So it's great. Maybe for me, at least, and the rest of our listeners, I think Shlomo, you know each other pretty well. Maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and Jing Jobs.
Yeah, sure. So essentially, I graduated from university 3 years ago. I'm at the age of 21, and I didn't really know what I was doing with my life, as a lot of other 21-year-olds feel when they graduate. I did a degree in international relations and economics, which is fairly broad. I could have done a lot of different things. I interned at Morgan Stanley for a little bit in institutional equity. I worked as a front office intern for the Park Hyatt in Beijing. I essentially did a whole bunch of random things to try and find my passion, but failed to do so. So I hopped on a plane about 3 months after I graduated and just decided that I would go to China. I'm half Chinese, so I figured it would be a good idea to learn Mandarin, connect with my roots and all of that. So I ended up flying out to Beijing and I enrolled myself in a 3-month Mandarin course and thought, I think I overestimated my ability to learn a language. And I was like, I'll be fluent. So after 3 months, I realized that I was definitely not fluent and that I needed more time. So I enrolled in another 3 months of Mandarin and finally managed to get it up to a place where, I could function and have a decent conversation with someone and actually be able to discuss things other than tea and the weather. So then, I decided to stay and actually use the language that I just learned. So I essentially just graduated, spent 6 months doing Mandarin, and then I was looking for my first job. And this is before LinkedIn actually, entered China. And this is before, I guess, the days where, WeChat was prominent as well. This is 3 years ago. So I basically relied a lot on the Beijing Air Classifieds, going to a ton of networking events and just trying to meet the right people who may be able to lead me to, a potential job offer or, a potential job opportunity that was actually stimulating and something that just I actually wanted to engage in. Yeah.
For the listeners who missed it, Jing Jobs is a job search website. So just we need to say that for the...
Oh, yeah. So it is job relevant. Yeah. Yeah. So essentially, that's what I started doing. And then...
From going from internship kind of stuff to being a startup CEO, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I basically went from fun employment to starting my own company.
That's cool.
But I guess in the process, I wanted to help other people that were in a similar situation to me, mainly just because I had a lot of friends that were also job hunting. They were of a similar age. With only about a year or maybe two of working experience. And essentially, I just started meeting a lot of people on the startup scene, and they were also all looking for, young dynamic talent that was, that was flexible, talent that was, able to take a risk. And so it was actually quite a good fit. So I actually just started focusing on these two niches where I started a job platform and, initially just to get a following and to get people using it, I targeted a lot of different things, but I did want to stay away from just English teaching or just education consulting, which is obviously one of the more obvious choices for a lot of foreigners and a lot of young foreigners to kind of go for when they first land in China. You end up getting stuck teaching English, or you end up doing college essays for Chinese students and in the education consulting industry and things like that. Even though that may not be our passion, it's the most straightforward kind of position to go for. And it's also paid well. So, for a young graduate, it's fairly appealing. But that's kind of what I wanted to stay away from. I wanted to show people that there were other opportunities in China aside from that, especially for young grads and young professionals. So that's kind of when I focused on two niches where I helped startups source young bilingual talent. And I wanted to build a community around that where we could all support each other. So that's why we don't even just focus on online. We do a ton of offline events. We do at least two events a month, ranging from recruiting events, startup dating, professional development workshops, a whole range. And we always try and keep it fresh and keep it new so that it doesn't get all stagnant, because everyone knows job hunting is boring anyway. So we try and make it as fun as possible. But yeah, so essentially we do collaborate with a lot of local organizations and a lot of other alumni groups, young professional forums, to really build this kind of community of job seekers. We see it as just connecting people to potential opportunities. And you can do that anywhere, essentially. You can you can build a community from the ground up pretty easy anywhere. So I collaborate with the British Council, the American Chamber of Commerce, the Beijing Women's Network, like a whole range, the Aussie community as well, to just kind of bring, you know, these emerging startups and their potential opportunities to this kind of younger generation of job seekers in China. And we do a lot of like Beijing-based startups, a lot of Shanghai-based startups. And yeah, essentially, I also got a grant last year from the Chaoyang government. It's called the Phoenix Plan, and they target like foreign entrepreneurs. And
that's if you open
Haiwai. So essentially, yes, you must open your company in Chaoyang. But essentially, yeah, they gave me a small startup grant, which was also really helpful. So that was key as well to kind of being able to rebuild something that I'd built really quickly over the course of 2 months with like one developer, you know, an initial site to just kind of get it up and running and actually seeing if there was a need for this. And yeah, it turns out people do like curated job sites, which is not full of crap and very specifically targeting to target groups. So, you know, information is super fragmented these days. People can get information from anywhere. So I don't think it's necessarily a need for another job website. It's just if it's information they want to know about and it's easy to access and it's, you know, efficient in terms of delivering that information to them, I think there's always going to be a need for that.
I see. Can you tell us a bit about kind of the challenges you started with? I mean, the major ones when you, let's say, the first few months, what were the difficulties? Was it setting up the company? Was it recruiting? Was it getting people to the website or anything else?
Yeah. So I was 21 at the time, so I really knew nothing. Like I will like straight up like openly admit that I was like so stupid. I just kind of thought that this would be like a fun little experiment and I would just kind of chuck it out there into the universe and see how it went. And so for the first kind of 3 months, I burnt a lot of time just kind of trying to figure out and understand what it was that I was actually building. I didn't have a clear plan. I didn't have a clear monetization plan. I didn't have a clear plan of what anything was going to look like or where I wanted to take it. It was just kind of like, I'm going to create something, chuck it out there and, you know, see if people actually like it. So after the website was created, there were tons of bugs. I'm not a developer or like, you know, a tech kind of person to begin with. So I had no idea what was going on. I was just kind of like, it's broken, fix it. And so it was like trying to understand all of that and know how to actually direct people in that sense of, you know, being able to communicate my ideas and what I wanted it to be. And then on top of that, it was just trying to get people to use a really buggy site. Since then, we've patched a lot of bugs. I mean, it's still basically the original site that we started off with 2 years ago, but it's been patched a few times over with, you know, whatever we've been able to do. But essentially, it was just convincing users to use this and then convincing users to post jobs. And that was very hard coming from someone who, you know, didn't really have much of a background in either the recruitment industry or, you know, I didn't even have like a solid network of potential clients or leads or anything. So it was a lot of convincing, a lot of hustling at the beginning to actually get it off the ground. But then once we started using social media and like, you know, getting a fairly decent amount of jobs that people actually wanted and were interested in, the job seekers kind of came naturally and it was a little easier, but it did take a good like 4 or 5 months before it actually started working and like employers were actually like, oh yeah, we got a resume today. So it definitely took like a while for that to kind of happen. And I did burn a lot of time and waste a lot of time in the process.
I don't think 4 or 5 months is too long, by the way.
No, but I definitely not. But I think like for me, not having a solid plan at all, definitely something that it took me four to five months to actually like find my feet and understand what it was that I was trying to even achieve. So I guess in my head it felt a lot longer because it's not like I kind of started out with like a step one and by 6 months I'm gonna reach this goal. It was kind of like, let's try it out there and see what happens. So I was taking like a fairly big risk there, but I was lucky because I didn't have anything to lose. You know, I didn't have any responsibilities. I didn't have like a career I was putting on hold. It was more just kind of like, you know, a fun experiment for someone who had just graduated to kind of try out. But yeah, I guess like 2 years later and like a bit of persistence, like, you know, people start hearing about it, people start using it, and it's kind of like gained a little bit more of a reputation, I guess, of being like a solid source of information for jobs for a certain type of people. So yeah.
Great.
But that definitely took time.
Yeah. This is cool. So you kind of answered this a little bit, but I'll put it as a more direct question. You were mentioning the hustling and the 4 or 5 months, you know, really like finding your fit. was it harder to kind of, you know, a lot of times marketplaces, you know, have two sides. There's the jobs, you know, people looking for jobs and the companies that need staff. So was it harder to get them to list jobs or get people to apply, or what was the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, definitely. I think starting out, just having companies willing to like try out this random site that they've never heard of and to trust me, I came across as also quite immature. Like I don't think I developed my kind of like professional voice yet. So, you know, I'd kind of start out being like, it's free, you know, it's like, it's not going to like, you're not going to lose anything by like posting your job on there. Like, you know, I think it took me a while to actually find my voice in terms of being able to do a proper pitch, a proper elevator pitch and actually, you know, convince people. I think a lot of times it was just like trying to get me off their back because I was quite aggressive, and then trying to shut me up. So, because I would, you know, call, I'd go to their office, I'd see them at networking events, I'd try a lot of different ways. So once I got them to start posting like decent positions on there that job seekers were actually interested in, it ended up being a bit easier. And the job seekers do come naturally, you know, by word of mouth and things like that. I never really put any money into like marketing or, you know, placing ads anywhere. So I guess like the fact that most of it was organic was quite good. But yeah, definitely. I think the hardest bit was actually just getting people to post jobs on there first.
Okay. So coming from the, let's call it trenches, what tips, insider tips you can give for people starting out in China? I mean, you've definitely done that. I mean, just coming and starting out, usually people have their first job or something in China and then start out and you jumped into the water. So
yeah, I think sometimes I do see myself as like at a disadvantage sometimes in terms of like now that we're, you know, a solid team of seven and we have a proper, you know, we have several revenue streams and, you know, we do function as like a slightly more sustainable company than I started out with. It's like gotten a lot harder for me to like, you know, manage a team and motivate a team and figure out, you know, how do we build a company culture and to do all these little things that you need to do to keep a company going and to keep it sustainable, just because I am very young. I've never worked for anyone else. I've never, you know, worked for another company properly. I think all of that combined together has been quite a huge learning curve for me. I think if I'd started out with a job at another company and like kind of learned slowly there bottom up, these things would come a little bit more naturally to me, but I kind of just like have chucked myself in there. So, I mean, for people who are starting out in China, I would say A, like learn the language. I wouldn't be able to do half the stuff that I can do now because my Mandarin is fairly proficient. So I can't imagine what it would be like if you didn't know any Mandarin at all. I think you'd be getting half the experience or even less of the so-called China experience. I don't like saying no to like any like professional experience. I try and say yes to everything, whether it be like moderating a panel, organizing an event, co-organizing an event. You know, someone's invited me to a conference that I wouldn't normally go to. Like I try and say yes to all of these experiences because the more experiences you have, like your learning curve gets steeper and you progress faster. Yeah, and also get mentors. Definitely find mentors. I think I didn't find mentors until quite late. And I would say like, if you do want to be able to have a solid sounding board and someone who can give you proper advice for a very relevant industry or a very relevant challenge that you're having, is to definitely find mentors early on to be able to give you that advice and to not be scared to actually ask them to mentor you. I know a lot of people who are like intimidated by, you know, people who are like with 10, 20 years of like seniority or working experience on them, and they don't want to, you know, bother that person or they don't feel like they're worthy of their time. But I would say like, I like for every single one of my mentors that I have, I've just gone straight up to them and been like, I admire you. I really like what you do. And I want to learn from you. And I think like, that's always been a very like beneficial for me and very valuable to me that they, you know, they give me really great advice and that, you know, I managed to like skip five steps by just asking them about a particular challenge or a particular problem. And they just say like, you know, from my experience, I've already been through that. And I can tell you like I did X, Y, and Z and don't do A, B, and C because, you know, that's going to lead you down the wrong path or, you know, you're going to make a big mistake by doing that because you haven't thought about another situation that might happen from that. So I think you just kind of skip through a lot of the bad parts by just having a mentor there who is able to direct you down the right path, not necessarily directly all the time. They do let you kind of find your own way as well, but definitely the right mentor can help advance your professional development quite fast, I would say.
Great. Okay, Sam. I think I would summarize that as being not shy to ask. You know, you definitely seem like you're you have no problem asking people for help or asking people for advice. So I think that's really also another thing that people should take away. And
yeah, I would say definitely never say no to, certain experiences, and don't be afraid to put yourself out of that comfort zone. Like, if that's a professional event that you wouldn't normally attend, but someone's invited you, just go. You never know who you might meet. And I would say a lot of opportunities are attached to people. There are a lot of people that have the power to give you that opportunity that other people don't. So every time you actually say no to something, or you don't kind of throw yourself into that zone that you wouldn't normally go into, you're actually, that's an opportunity cost. You're actually just not, you're losing out. So I would say meet as many people as you can, go to as many different events as you can, and just try and widen your professional experience in lots of different ways, within the workplace and outside of the workplace.
Okay, great. All right. Yeah. So I know you're a very busy entrepreneur and we respect your time. So before you go, of course, people might be interested to check out your website and what you're up to online. So any URLs or contact details or social media sites you want to share for people to engage with you and your business, you can shoot them out now.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely go to www.jingjobs.com. It's currently the old website, the new completely built from scratch platform that will be bilingual and way better, will be released in September. So if they want to hold out to then, that also works. But yeah, so there's that. There's our WeChat channel. That's also, we have daily updates of all the newest jobs. We split them up by location as well. So that's also helpful. And that's Get Jinged. If you just type in GetJinged into WeChat, you get our official account, Get Jinged. And my email is samantha@jingjobs.com. If people want to email me their resumes or any questions or job search problems that they have, I'd be happy to answer. So that also works. Oh, and for startups, there's also HR Butler, which is essentially our slightly more customized assistance that we offer to startups that are looking for people. So they can also message me about that.
Nice. All right.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.